Thank you for listening to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please support the show by subscribing to and leaving a 5-star rating for the show on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Podbean, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and any of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also support the show by going to our website, blackandgoldhockey.com, where there's always exciting articles by the BNG writing staff. While you're there, don't forget to click on the fanatics.com banner for a great sports fan shopping experience.
Are you done yet? We gotta start the show.
What is happening, Bruins fans? We are back to record another Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. But before we do that, I want to bring in my co-host, Heather Ingerson. Heather, how are you? And how was your week?
I'm doing all right. My week was fine. Happy on this beautiful, brisk, kind of crisp fall afternoon to be meeting up with you, talk about the Bruins. I'm in an episode 250 Bruins win kind of mood. And nice. How was your week? A nice weekend? Everything going all right for you so far, sir?
Yes, absolutely. A great weekend. I had Friday off planned because I attended an unbelievable wedding at Zarvino Vineyards up in Sandown, New Hampshire, to see friends and now family, Danny Mac and Haley Marie get married. So it was an unbelievable time. There was lots of drinks flying around Friday night. The hotel room was absolutely banana land. I'm telling you, this was like, this was like the stuff you see on movies, you know. So it was a lot of fun, but congratulations and thanks for the invite. And we got them some Loge tickets to go along with the card that we gave them. So they're going to be going to the October 30th game against the Florida Panthers. So that should be fun. But yeah, it's been good. So just unwinding, trying to get this podcast out, and so. It's been busy, so I'm happy to be back talking Boston Bruins hockey.
I know. I was like, it was kind of a short week because we had to end up recording on the Monday, but here we are. I bet it sooner than later. I always love that, but yeah good to go. Talk Bruins hockey. Congratulations to the couple and many happy and years ahead of you in your marriage and your adventure that you started this weekend.
Absolutely. All right. Let's start the show properly, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Black and Gold Hockey Podcast is powered by BetOnline.ag and in partnership with the Black and Gold Production Sports Media Company. This is season 6, episode 250, folks. 250. And we kindly ask that you please subscribe to our weekly Bruins Hockey Talk on all worldwide audio podcast platforms and video content on our related Black and Gold Hockey Podcast YouTube channel. We would certainly appreciate the support on both social media platforms. And you guys rock. For those that already do, amazing people. Bruins Nation is unreal. I just love how we hate each other most of the times, but we also work well together, if that makes any sense.
It does. It doesn't have to be perfect. Chemistry can happen, my friend.
Yeah. All right, let's before we get to this hockey talk madness, I do want to talk about show sponsor betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all your basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your bonus. That's CLNS50. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. All right, we just heard from the amazing folks at BetOnline.ag. That was me actually doing the ad read, so just in case you guys didn't know. But BetOnline.ag is a fantastic sponsor. They're our show sponsor. They've been with us for a long time. And the reason why they've been around for a long time is because we trust them. This is a product that they put out and we support and I use on a regular basis. So gotta, give the props out to the show sponsor and make sure that you guys go. And please, if you do sign up for a free account, please put in the CLNS50 code. We certainly appreciate that. All right, Heather, another week, another agenda. Where do we go here? You lead the way, my fair lady. All right.
Well, I thought that we would start with holy smoly guacamole, my friend. It is episode 250 of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. It feels like just the other day it was episode 200. I'm like, have we really had that many podcasts in between?
I know.
We really have.
You're entering the third season, third year. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. So congratulations to you. I mean, I think when we first kind of took off on this togetherness, this like brother and sister endeavor, basically talking Boston Bruins hockey. It was a little rough, but I think that over the years we've gained good chemistry with each other. You know, we still fight like brother and sister, but it's still a lot of fun to sit here and do this with you every week. And we're growing, and I'm just happy that you're aboard this Bruins freight train, content freight train that we're providing over here at BNG Production Sports Media Company. So congratulations to you too.
Hey buddy, I'm just glad you have me. Basically all you did was take every time we'd be out, you'd be like, we should just record this and put it on a podcast. Okay. Then finally we did.
And that was honestly, the alcohol talking.
What the hell did I know? But we like get in all these, like, obviously when you're drinking, you have in-depth conversations, but you know what I mean? But the problem was that I did have no idea. I've never recorded anything in my life, nor have I ever had a desire to. Like, I don't, you know, whatever. So you worked it out. We've been through many phases of the technological branches. I'm so glad we finally have one that helps us out mostly and doesn't let us down. And I don't know, it's been a good time. Met a lot of fun people through this. Yeah, and
absolutely.
I mean, even if I'm just cool by association through Mark, thank you for everyone who keeps listening and tuning in. I mean, somebody's listening to us, at least the numbers say so. So we really appreciate it. And all the, you know, just all the fun interaction with fellow Bruins fans and obviously our BNG family. So many great writers and podcasters and digital content people helping build the BNG. Ladder one step at a time. And I'd also like to thank God, my producers. No, I'm just kidding. You are my producers.
It's like you're going up for an award.
Yeah, you know, but no, I think it's been a fun time. And today was a good day, I think. Lots of Bruins hockey happening today. I'm in an episode 250, still got my scarf on. Gonna take that off now, just so you know, the winning combination is scarf, socks, and BNG jersey currently. So we're gonna wear that
until it
goes out. But this is kind of a sad note to get to something next. Moving on from us, because frankly, we're egomaniacs and could talk about ourselves all day. I just wanted to say that sad that we had a great, he was around for a long time as a sportscaster in the Boston community. So I just want to say rest in peace, Bob. Passed away at age of 70. I'm sorry, Neumeier, right?
Yeah, said Neumeier. It wrong,
I think. Yeah, Neumeier. So anyways, he was around like on whatever BZ and NBC, and he did horse. I know he did some horse racing thing. He was a analyst for WEEI and other things around here. But anyways, long time sports journalist in our area. So I can't believe I just said your name wrong. I'm sorry. I heard it a million times in my life. But rest in peace. Thoughts and prayers with the family, because I know he had a stroke a few years ago, or whatever. And it's been a hard road, but 70 years, nothing to scoff at, leaves behind a great legacy. And rest in peace. And thanks for everything. And just thinking about his family.
Yeah, exactly. Bob's been around for a long time. And as long as I have, And one of the originals, when you look at the news and you see somebody talking about sports, he was mostly up there. The original Eddie Olchuk, when you talk about horse handicapping, the guy was really good at doing that stuff. And, you know, brought the sporting world to a whole new level, in my opinion. So it really sucks to hear that he passed today, and hearing Dale Arnold on today's game broadcast. It was a little tough too, but, you know, my thoughts and prayers to the family, obviously, but, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. It was sad. Dale Arnold posted a really nice picture of, them and Tom Brady or whatever. It was like me, Bob, and some guy that plays football. It was a really nice picture of him. And that was a nice way to honor him, I think. But anyways, I feel like we always have to start off with the sad stuff, because overall it's been a really happy time, but that was kind of sad. He passed away on Saturday night or whatever, and was kind of going around there. So thanks, Bob, for everything. All right, well, we got some games to talk about. Hockey again. Hockey's back on. The Bruins finally played another game. I mean, it took a while, but it was not a game that I'm trying to keep in my psyche. We played the Philadelphia Flyers on Wednesday. We lost 6-3 at the Wells Fargo Center in Philly. Coleman scored, though. Frederick got an assist, and Thomas Nosek, he had a great game. He had great play this week. Taylor Hall scored from McAvoy, and Marchand scored from Pastrnak and McAvoy. So good for Charlie McAvoy getting a couple points. But other than that, pretty much Philly had control of this game. Defense broke down. Jeremy Swayman got hung up like this. Welcome to the NHL kid kind of game. Yeah, it was funny because everyone kept going, oh, but we're playing Carter Hart or whatever. Well, Carter Hart came out on top of this game because this was kind of a hot mess. Philly beat us in almost everything. Face off, shots on goal. We had 40 to their 25, but does it really matter? They killed it. We were on the PK only a couple times, but they capitalized. Coyle went in for tripping and Carlo, but they went 2-for-2 on the power play, and that's why they won 6-3. Mark, what are your thoughts before we get into more on this game, but just overall?
Yeah, it was not a very good game, and it this is the trend that I preached about on Twitter. I don't like the idea of having all this time off in between games. It's a Bruins trend lately that, you know, when they have more than a day or two off, that they don't perform very well, and this is a great example. From the crease, I thought Jeremy Swayman absolutely had his worst game in black and gold. And I understand he's a rookie. He's going to go through these trials and tribulations of being a professional at a young age. But there was a lot of mistakes that, I believe that he made that could have been a little less on what the Flyers did to us. But then in the defense, letting these players go right through and get to Swayman, and also the forwards just pretty much not responding to, being in a hole, per se, which I really wanted to see this Boston team do this season, was if they give up some bad goals, the goaltending is not up to par, that the offense can come in and like really pick up the, you know, the momentum here and kind of create gaps when your back end isn't doing very well. So, and the bench, from the coaching to the players to the you know, six members on the ice. That was a team loss. And I just think that with this time off, this Boston Bruins team just has to get more conditioned for situations like this. They always do this. That next game that they have with several days off is never a good one. But it's nice to see them to turn around in the next game. But we'll talk about that later.
Well, good news. Until the Olympic break, that probably won't happen, because now we're going to play three games in 4 days, which makes total sense, don't you think? Yeah, but overall, I agree with you. Swayman stopped 19 out of 24, although I do believe that defense was a little busted. I mean, it was bad. Like, it didn't take long for McAvoy and Grizzlick to be back together, things like that, but it was top to finish. They came out the gate, like, first period was flying and, like, good momentum, and you're like, yeah, man, like, good pace, right? Because Philly can get you. They do. They're a rival. They're an enemy. You never know what you're going to get. It's always a nice heated game, but yeah, Swayman did his part too, to like, he had a rough game, but that's good though. I agree with, I think it's not a bad thing. He got a little shelled a bit in that game or faced a lot of chances, because Philly was flying, dude. They came to play. They weren't kidding. And they took advantage of us having four games, only having one game in 9 days or whatever, and good for them. But
I know
the thing is, you thought that they were going to respond. Just to get back to one more of your points, how you said you want to see them respond when they are getting like that, but they didn't. It was like same bullshit of the halfway through the second. Now we start kind of, then we have a little flare up where you think they might have a chance, and then they just let the shit float away. Excuse my language, but that game pissed me off, and I'm still mad even on Sunday.
To touch on Jeremy Swayman just a little further, it's just my personal opinion, but what I saw, for a goaltender that seemingly comes off as calm, cool, and collective to everybody, always smiling underneath that mask, having a great time. I thought that he played a lot of panic hockey in the crease, a lot of scrambling hockey, and that might have been because he was covering up for kind of a weak defense in front of him and kind of being a little more aggressive than he normally would. But I found that his positioning was just a little off. Timing was a little off, but these are things that he's going to go through as he continues to develop. So I'm really not overly worried about it. It's just how you respond is always my biggest thing. It's like how, if and when you get into the next game, how are you going to respond? Which will probably be next week anyway, but we'll talk about that too.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's interesting. I didn't put it on here, but I did want to talk a little bit about that. Interesting. Instead of every other game there, two games now. I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's because we were playing Buffalo, but I'm not sure that's the strategy. It just happens to be we played Buffalo. Do you know what I mean? That lined up. I mean, Omar would have played against his team at some point, but I don't think at this point in the season that was the game plan and the rotation or anything like that. That being said, Nick Foligno left early. He's hurt.
Yeah, that's a pretty big blow to this team, but it's that next man up mentality. You know, a veteran goes down, you know, we make some freaking recalls from Providence, or some of your rotating forwards, you know, 13 and 14 roster guys. But hopefully he gets better soon, because I really like the way Nick was getting to the net aggressively and playing at the top of the key. You know, when in certain situations, especially you're getting a little bit of power play time, penalty kill time, whatever. But it's that next man up mentality. So there were some call-ups. Do you have those on the list?
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about the rotating cast this week little bit as we go. I just kind of set it up. We could go over the last five. Just, this is what's happened in Bruins land Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
So, but Craig Smith also beat up a little bit. He did play Friday, but not today. But yeah, we will talk about that in a little bit. I also... What was I going to say? Okay, so yeah, so because Smith was questionable and a little bumped up for Friday's game, Anton Bleed came up and John Moore came up, which everyone was surprised he came up. But again, I don't know why people are... I get with the contract, and we've always been in a bind, and people like give John Moore way more hate than he necessarily deserves at time. But like, whatever. He's, like I said, he's our new Steve Camfer. He's going to play out his contract and do what he needs us to do. But yeah, he ended up going down. But anyways, they came up. Lazar's still out. So they come in. And Friday, we had a great game. The best game of the three games, I think, overall. I mean, Buffalo kind of is in their zone. They're all excited. Their 5,000 fans that were in attendance were very excited. They're burning the bridge down. And they were. But what the Bruins did is 4-1, popped their cherry this year on their winning streak. Woo, there's your hot winning streak. I was like, I don't know why everyone's excited. Buffalo often goes on like a 9-game win streak and then just disappears for the last 4 months of the season. So,
notoriously hot in the beginning of the year. This was unfortunately a game that I missed because my friend's wedding was going on, and they were, which was cool because the focus should have been on them. It was their day, and I completely understand that. But the TV was to not be on the Bruins game, and social media was kind of like policed a little bit, which I loved, you know. So, I didn't get to see much of the game. I'm happy that Enroth got in. Enroth, oh my God. Allmark. I was thinking of another Buffalo goaltender. Allmark got in the net, and I'm happy to see that. And he beat his former team. I'm actually kind of surprised that Cassidy gave that opportunity to Allmark, to be honest with you, because just by the way Buffalo has been playing, number one, and number two, Heather, it was the fact is that Buffalo can expose Allmark because they've seen him so much. They know his weaknesses. They know his tendencies and so on. And they probably knew that, you know, this is a fresh system for him, that Bob Asenza and Mike Dunham probably haven't had a full dose of. You know, he's still small sample size here as a new Bruin, being a free agent signing over the offseason. But, you know, that, you know, if you're a professional, you can find these trends on people. You know, it's almost like a black book per se, you know. So go ahead.
I was going to say, well, this is kind of, remember we had talked about last time that they had mentioned that he hadn't really worked with goalie Bob or anything like one-on-one. And that's one thing the 4-day gap seems to have helped, is maybe working out a little more of the kinks with Omar, because he hadn't played since April. And I know it's not as an excuse, but like we talked about, like, calm down. It's preseason camp. It's one Swayman's in net, this and that, but he stopped 35 out of 36, 973 save percentage, not bad. He was like, welcome to look at my new team, boys. I mean, those of you who haven't been on traded to new teams too, because half the team's gone. They did all right. Pasternak scored, Nosek scored. Charlie Coyle had 3 points. It was great. Taylor Hall scored on an empty netter. I thought overall they looked like, we always talk about, like, how do you respond? So, like, Wednesday was a crap show, right? How are they going to respond to that? And they responded. They looked better. I mean, whatever. It's too early in the season to debate, like, is Philly a better whatever? But, like you said, some of the matchups, we got Foligno's out of the lineup. Craig Smith was banged up. He ended up on the third line, and Nosek ended up on the second line. There was a little bit of switching going on, but overall, better. Everybody on the team responded. Everybody had Allmark's back, because they did not have Swayman's back that well on Wednesday. No. Everybody did their job. It was steady. And I mean, they went to the box a couple times, things like that. But like overall, it sucks though, because Anton Bleed ended up getting hurt during that game. So now he's out too. Well, in there. But yeah, it was, I think that's the way that the Bruins should look. Like, that was a good response to have Foligno out, Craig a little banged up. Like, they tightened up as a team instead of, I don't know. We always talk about that, though. Like, they're either, like, real tight, or they're kind of like, Wednesday's game.
Right,
like,
right.
That game would not end. I hated that game. But I thought it was a good outing, and obviously it's always weird when you go against your new team. We looked better on the power play, I thought, than we did the other day. But that being said, between Saturday and Sunday, we had a lot of movement going on. Craig Smith's out. He probably shouldn't have played on Saturday, but they probably didn't have enough time to get somebody, you know what I mean, in the lineup. Well, and Anton Bleed's out. He's not traveling with the road trip next week. Nick Foligno's on the IR, not traveling even on the road trip. John Moore got assigned to Providence. But Jack Sidnik and Oscar Steen got pulled up for today's game, which we'll talk about. I'm sure there are many people that were very happy about that. So, as always, you got to plug in the players as they go. The injury bug's starting to hit. We're Bruins fans. Don't panic yet. There are, you know, some of this is a little painful, but overall, you know, everyone's kind of coming and did all right. You know, like, I'm not saying Carson Coleman has been setting things on fire, filling in for Lazar or whatever over there, but things like that. But today, we held on by the skin of our teeth. We played a very good game for San Jose. Yeah. And then, as always, forget to play all 60. Mark White's fresh in our brains. Let's talk about today's 4-3 win over the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, just a big wow. You know, Saturday matinee, 1 p.m., puck drop. Came out swinging real quick, you know. And I was really impressed. And for a majority of the game, I was very impressed. But the foot was let off the gas a little bit towards the end, and you know, they paid for it. I think they let their goaltender out to dry a little bit with some, you know, there are some unfortunate bounces. That shit's gonna happen. But overall, it's a win. It's ugly, but it's a win. You know, injuries continue to pile up. You know, before the game, the recalls came in. Your lines are basically. It was very strange line. Coyle back on the right side, which I absolutely hate. Noel Schick on the in a center spot, with Holland back on the third position in the center in the third line. Yeah, it was kind of a strange thing, but, you know, hey, a win's a win.
It is. Marchand scored from Bergeron and Pasternak. Derek Folbert scored from Marchand and Connor Clifton. Pasternak scored from Bergeron on a power play goal.
What a snipe that was.
Oscar, yeah. And Jake DeBrusk with a freaking rocket from Oscar Steen, first NHL point. You can reflect on that in 1 second. And Derek Folbert, so that's 2 points for him. But, yeah, we definitely started getting our asses caught. Ullmark did give up a couple.
Yeah.
Like, he got caught on it. But at the same time, like you said, I think that defense kind of – and this is classic kind of Bruins. We let off the gas a little bit, but can't do that versus any team. But overall, man, it was rocking. I don't know. I don't have a lot of complaints except for keep it together, guy, in the third period. Like, you have to play all 60 minutes. It's not worth it if you don't play all 60, because that's how we end up going to, like, overtime and we always lose or whatever.
Yep.
So, what do you think? I understand everyone. I'm not indifferent, but, like, whatever, Oscar Steen and Sidnika, but do you have any reflection on how you thought that they went during this game? And I understand people, like, freaking out because everyone loves Jack Sidnika, but I'm like, all right, well, we need you, so come on.
I was actually kind of shocked that he got in the lineup as a fourth line center, but I thought he did okay in his role. I thought that he was a little aggressive when he had to be in areas. I think he worked well with Trent Frederick and who was the other guy on that line?
I don't remember right now.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fine. Yeah, so I thought that they played very well.
Carson Kuhlman.
Kuhlman, yes.
Sorry about that.
I keep forgetting about him.
Sorry, my brain hurt.
But I thought they did all right. Oscar Steen especially. That guy's just a little, you know, freight train. And he's been playing really well down in Providence for the past couple of games, real aggressive along the board battles and so on. And he's got some speed to him and a sick, pretty sick NHL release, you know, so kind of a no-brainer to get him up there and so on. Can be that type of Anton Blee type of replacement, you know, that he could be that gritty type of player, good on the forecheck. But it's good to have these guys get their opportunities and so on. But the Sidnika one was weird. I really don't see him as a fourth liner. I would have rather seen him as fourth line minutes, you know, in Providence today against a game I'm watching right now against the Springfield Thunderbirds. But, you know, it is what it is. Let's see how long he lasts up here in that role. And obviously that's going to dictate on how long some of these Boston Bruins players that are on the shelf in there, you know, and the timeline of a return. So it's going to be interesting to see how Bruce Cassidy mismatches the lines. I really want to get Coyle back up the middle. You know, I just don't like him on the wing at all. But that's just my opinion.
I hate him there.
I do.
I can't say it enough.
Can't.
No, I agree. I prefer him in the center. But right now, as always, we got the injury game playing. So we got to do what we got to do. Yeah, I mean, I think that did all right up there. I mean, overall, though, as a team, they played a lot better the last two games. Ullmark finally, you know, everyone's seen him. That's one of my things before we do studs and duds is week two goalie controversy. Can everyone calm down now that we've seen Ullmark actually play hockey in game situations that count? It wasn't perfect, but I mean, if everyone was melting down over preseason Ullmark, this is a totally different goaltender. It's night and day goaltender. So, like, let's come off the bridge. This is going to be the new segment, goalie controversy, week three. Like, see, whatever. Wait till to January. I'm just saying, it's people on thing. But I think I half jokingly, because I wasn't kidding when I said I think Ullmark will be the seventh player, but that's what I retweeted with the best little smile picture they tweeted out with his win versus Buffalo. But that was the week in actual games. We'll see. Hopefully, I don't know. I'm a little worried about some of these injuries just because it's early in the season. And this is where you really, with all the disruption that comes late in the middle of the season with the Olympics, which I'm happy about, but that's a long time and what's happening. And God, it's kind of scary to me just on that, that I don't want to start going down the rabbit hole of injuries. There were two fights today, though, right? Your boy, yes. Trent Frederick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's good. A little physicality. Not like stupid physicality like has been in the past. You know what I mean? You got making wiser decisions when to get physical as opposed to just kind of getting angry physical. You know, that never works out. Use your brain, kid. So you would do a good job on that. That's it. Any other thoughts on these games before we do studs and duds of the week?
No.
You got any studs for this week?
I want to start with a stud. And that's I'm going 1A, 1B again. I'm going to do Linus Allmark and Jake DeBrusque. I really like Jake's game. He continues to surprise me this early in the season, and hopefully he could just shut some people up that don't like him. Allmark, it's good to see him finally get some praise from the he had a terrible preseason, and he's going to be an awful signing and fire Sweeney, and the world's going to end, folks. I can actually see him and what he can actually do. So I'm going to go with that. The duds. Oh boy. I don't really know who I really didn't like at all. I don't know. I feel a little impassioned with Coolman. I like his game and so on. I scored a goal the other night, which was awesome. Trent Frederick doing his thing, getting it to the net, creating the second opportunity and so on. But I don't know. Coolman doesn't do much for me. He's more of a north to south guy. Hopefully he can round his game out. Good emergency break glass in case of emergency type of player, in my opinion. But I don't know. I really can't think of anything right now.
I was going to say, there's no one to me that really stood out as a dud to me. Do you know what I mean? I think everybody had their moments that could have been a little duddish this week. So not to cop out on that. There's no one to really, I mean, like you said, maybe by default, Carson Coolman just.
I found it. Mike Riley, the freaking turnovers, man. Wow.
He had a really bad one game, but overall has not, like, that yeah. was the worst. He's had sometimes the worst play we've seen him have since he's been a Bruin, because he's been pretty consistent. Geez, you're stealing my thunder. That was going to be my thing. Was like, I guess I would pick Riley. Also, yeah. Fobert was a little hot cold this week for me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, where I like his game. I'm hating him and want him to go away or anything. I need him to be a little consistent just so we can figure out where he lands on this pairing, because we need him, because he's one of our top four. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
work it out or whatever. But obviously we know those will rotate probably as the season goes he had
his best game against San Jose today. So that's a fact right there, with a goal and a couple points, actually, if I'm not mistaken. And that was his first multi-point game since 2018.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I can't remember who tweeted that out, but shout out to them.
I think that my stud this week, I'm going to pick Nosek, I think. I think overall he's been very adaptable this week. He's had to play a couple different roles. I mean, like everyone else, he's had a couple moments this week. They all have. But overall, I think he's been a pretty good driver of whatever line he's been on, getting in the thick of things.
I've been pumping this tires of this freaking free agent signing when, mm-hmm. Over the summer, I was just like, this is the type of player that is a great move, in my opinion, to restructure your bottom six with, the departure of Corrali and so on. And I just think that he can play that his versatility really plays a key role in that bottom six. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Studs and duds for the week. You know what? Charlie McAvoy wore the A twice this week.
Nice.
They said they were rotating it. So I don't know what that means, or if it probably doesn't mean anything. But if you're going to go with maybe there's going to be some home or away alternate captaincy happening, that didn't happen. He was home and away this week. So I don't know. I think Charlie McAvoy has been pretty consistent this season so far. Really continuing to grow, but that was an interesting development. That wasn't rotating. Like, whose turn's next? Charlie McAvoy's again. So that's that. Geez, I feel like we're going through everything so fast. I don't know. Here we go. What's I know. That's what it's like. On one hand, I am trying to do that, but on the other hand, I'm trying not to be like, okay, that was 25 minutes. No, I'm just that's all right. I'm in a 250 kind of mood. I just gotta know we're doing this break for our boy Bruce Sullivan. No, I'm just kidding. So, anyways, interesting thing they tweeted out, the NHL tweeted out after the game. Brad Marchand is 9th all time on the Bruins multi-point game list with 181, passing Bruins legend David fucking Krejci, who had 180. Ken Hodge with 188. Cashman has 207. Bergeron has 214. Middleton has 245. Orr has 255. Esposito 303. So, and Bork has 388. So he's not going to catch some of these cats, but he definitely could catch a few of these cats. Maybe even Ricky Middleton. Maybe even Bobby Orr. Depends on how long he plays. And this little rat likes multi-point games. So who knows what will happen. But, Brad Marchand, man, I just like I could keep saying, like, when eyebrows first came up, if you would have told me he would be a candidate for the Hart fucking trophy, I would have been like, are you cereal right now? No way. He's going to be like an awesome badass third line grinder or whatever, but he's never going to be top line left wing scoring around 100 points or whatever pretty consistently or whatever. So that's that. I just wanted to mention it. Interesting. Any thoughts on Brad Marchand as he climbs the ring? These guys just are awesome. I love them.
Yeah.
It's going to be so sad when they all finally age out and go away.
It's just really cool to see how his skill and his leadership is being honored by so many people around the league nowadays. You know, always a heavy consideration for Team Canada to work with, you know, Sidney Crosby and fellow line mate Patrice Bergeron. But this is awesome. You know, I never would have thought that when Marchmont came into the league as a little, you know, under 6 feet grunt that people didn't know, didn't understand why he was here. But they really turned the page when they saw him play and his skill set in the early parts and his aggressiveness and, you know, take away the suspensions and so on, but he's turned into like a really like top five left winger in the NHL. And that's just impressive. It really is. And, you know, he continues to just get better and better. I mean, the other goal the other night was in 28 seconds in, or was that today?
Today.
Yeah. Today, 28 seconds right in. Seconds. I mean,
that was just fast.
Yeah, just start the freaking game right there. And he's just, I don't know. The guy continues to amaze me. So
also it gives more opportunities. My favorite like meme thing out there or whatever is Marchand kissing at the All-Star game. I just like he's a little, but yeah, like God, he got rid of that unibrow, got himself a wife, and look at him now. Future Hart trophy contender.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was just an interesting thing. But this is something that I thought was interesting that we saw on Friday night. Taylor Hall scored his 10th goal he did it in 19 games played. That's the fastest any Bruin has got their first 10 goals on the Bruins since Recchi did it in 08-09. That's a long time coming. Also, he had 2 goals in 37 games with the Sabres. So it turns out he likes the Bruins better because he's got 10 goals.
Oh, quite obvious.
Yeah, so with thing. It was an empty netter, but whatever. It's neither here nor there. But Taylor Hall's probably pretty happy. He's probably a little sad that now he doesn't have Smith. Like, just when you think you're going to have consistency in your career. And there you go. But, yeah, that was just an interesting little tidbit kind of thing.
What do you think about the Hall empty netter? I mean, he had tons of time just kind of tuck it in the net. But how about how aggressive he was and how close he was like to nail that, like he pretty much snapped it right in there. Like, take that kind of thing. You know what I mean? I've scored plenty of empty net goals where I freaking outskated a player and I never really put that much oomph on an empty netter, but he's just seemed like, you know, that's what you get for, but you know,
Taylor fucking Hall.
It was his choice to leave too, by the way. So it was kind of, you know, it wasn't like the Buffalo Sabres were up against it and they needed to move him. He wanted to leave.
Exactly. And they had way too many players that were way too unhappy, making way too much money. And now Taylor Hall is happy and he's smiling. And I love Taylor Hall. Every time he scores, I'm like, that's right. That's right. Told you he should have been a Bruin. I will die on that horse, and I know that nobody cares or horse that hill. But why did I say die on that horse? That's ridiculous.
I don't know.
Woo, see what happens when we podcast in the afternoon
instead of the
day. Damn it, NHL, you're messing up our whole entire recording schedule having these matinee games and us being in a moral dilemma of what to do about that. Just kidding.
Crazy.
All right. Yeah, so anyways, this is something that you're not going to care about, but I care about. And if anybody out there also loves Tory Krug, I heard a pretty cool interview with him on Cam and Strict podcast, and it was pretty cool. And he had very nice things to say about the boys. You can tell he's still very close with the boys in Boston. And if you like Tory Krug, not just because he was a Bruin, but maybe you're a fan of him, I would check out that interview, which made me laugh. And it also, too, because every time Tory Krug does an interview, someone, remember when he was on Chicklets, they're like, look at this dude's legs. Well, on this one, they kept going, look at this dude's arms. I'm like, that's right, Tory Krug, powerhouse. Everyone's like, God damn, you stacked little fucker. Just kidding. All right, moving on. But this was kind of interesting. Former captain Zdeno Chara passed former captain Ray Bourque on the all-time defenseman game played list the other night, which just proves how we always have an awesome defenseman come through our thing. I was like, I wonder how Ray Bourque's like, there's a few Bruins that are like really sacred Bruins in the pantheon of like Bruins gods. And it was like kind of probably mixed emotions. Like Ray Bourque got beat by Zdeno Chara, but also right on Zdeno Chara all at the same time. And if Chara continues to play, he might actually end up catching Chris Chelios. It'll be a stretch, but he might be able to do it. He's only a couple behind Larry Murphy. Scott Stevens has 635, so that's like another 20-ish games. And Chelios has 651. And since Chara's never retiring, he is absolutely going to probably end up along the NHL defenseman with the most amount of games. I just thought that was an interesting fun fact. I know sometimes we check in with those have moved on. I think that this we are approaching, my friend, is a good time that we get into the commercial. Well, not our mid-show break, I should
already,
say.
Already, huh?
Break for. Well, we talked on Monday. Like I said, we already nailed out some of the stuff we would have talked about, but these games heavy. We got a few more things. I just thought this is a good time. We're about at 45 minutes or so.
All right, let's do it. Let's hear from the amazing Bruce Sullivan and hear what he has this week in his collection. The guy goes out and gets hand-signed items, jerseys, pucks, photos, and other awesome things that you could have in your fan cave, your bedroom, or your trophy room or whatever. But follow his Facebook group. Follow his Facebook page and send him an email because he's got some fantastic stuff for amazing prices. And we just gave a jersey away to John Gillott last week. And I got to get that out to John. I've been slacking on the deliveries, but I have a list of people that I still got to get stuff out. But it's been kind of busy. But anyway, let's hear from Bruce and we'll be back for more Boston Bruins Hockey Talk shortly.
Hello, Bruins fans. This is Bruce from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia with our Black and Gold Memorabilia Moment of the Week. On November 6th, we will be hosting Bruins Hall of Fame legend Raymond Bourque. We will have exclusive memorabilia including jerseys, pucks, minis, and photos. This week, we are featuring exclusive memorabilia from our private signings with Bruins legend number 35, Andy Moog. Get an Andy Moog autographed JSA jersey with four-time All-Star inscription for just $99, a JSA puck for $35, or a JSA photo for $29. Add a Jerry Cheevers autographed dual-inscribed jersey for just $79, a JSA puck for $34, or a JSA mask photo for $30. For more information on our dozens of Bruins hand-signed pieces and your chance to win free memorabilia each week, check us out at our Facebook page, Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia, or email us directly at bostonsportsandmusic@gmail.com. And be sure to tune in each week right here to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Let's go!
Mm-hmm. All right, Bruins fans, we are back to talk some more Boston Bruins hockey here in the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. We want to thank Bruce Sullivan. He's been amazing. And seriously, if you guys, I mean, Christmas is like right around the corner. And if you need any like hand signed stuff to brighten your child, your boyfriend, your husband, or significant other's life with a hand signed Bruins jersey, nothing looks good. Nothing looks as good as, I can't even talk right now, but yeah. Check out Bruce Sullivan. Send him an email. Go to the Facebook page. You can win stuff just by liking and sharing. But go check him out. Bruce Sullivan at Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. All right, Heather. We are back. We are back. We are back. So where are we going now, my friend?
We're going second half of episode 250, my friend. And
boom.
I, as always, am going to defer to you for a minute because I like when you give the little updates on the people we have out and about in the system and how things are going, obviously specifically geared towards Providence because they're the ones most closely guarded secrets to help out the Bruins. There are secret weapons. There are weapons in training or whatever you will. But you want to give us a little recap of what's going on with the Providence Bruins, affectionately used to be called the Baby Bees, over the weekend, this weekend, or this week?
Yes. The Providence Bruins have played four games so far this year, and they and they're currently playing right now against Springfield. It's Pink in the Rink weekend, so it's Cancer Awareness Weekend down at the Dunk. So that's an annual thing that they do to raise money and awareness, obviously. But after these four games, like on October 16th, I was actually there for that game. The Providence Bruins, they won. But it was in a shootout. Second game on the 17th, I was not there. They played the Hartford Wolfpack. It was a shootout, and they lost. And on October 22nd, I was not there. I was at my friend's wedding. They lost 2-1 in final overtime. So all these games that they've been in so far have needed extra time to go. So a little bit of a concern there, but it's still early. There's a lot of adjustments going on. We talked about it earlier with the lineup and the recent injuries to the Boston Bruins. Well, that's going to put the Providence roster in flux a little bit. So it's still too early to say, but they are currently tied right now. I'm sorry. On October 23rd, they actually lost to Laval on home ice. So that was 4-0. So that was a pretty bad game. They just didn't really have it at all. But right now they are tied at one with the Springfield Thunderbirds with 16-15 remaining in the period. So with four games played, they are 1-1-1-1 with 4 points. And they currently sit in the lower half of the Atlantic Division. So like I said, it's a little too early to panic right now, but you know, we'll see what happens going on. Some players to be mentioned that have been playing really good. Jakub Lauko has been just absolutely amazing since starting the season. It's good to see him healthy and so on. Also, it's really good to see Kyle Kaiser. He's really been stepping it up lately in the goal. Ryan Mougenel, the new head coach, has mentioned that he's going to have a big year because of his off-season work ethic, and it's paying off because you know, the overall record doesn't look good, but his underlying numbers are really good. He's 1-0-2 right now, which is not bad, and he's in today's game against Springfield. But he's also got a 1.72 goals against average in those games and a 9.33 save percentage. So Kaiser's looking really good, like they're gonna really ride him. The Troy Grosnick, the veteran that they signed as a free agent, he was out and actually happened on the 16th against Bridgeport after the first period. That was it for him to start his year. So it's pretty much been the Kaiser train. Callum Booth's been up. He got called up from the Maine Mariners in the East Coast Hockey League to fill in. And he was in that 4-0 game that Laval won at the Dunk. So just a little bit of a little update on the Providence Bruins and what's going on at the top minor pro level of the Boston Bruins minor pro system. So,
all right. Thank you. Inquiry minds want to know, and you are going to be launching a new prospect. Oh, sorry.
I do want to shout out Nathan Strauss and Ryan Duffy. Nathan had the game last night. against Laval, and Ryan Duffy's currently covering the Providence Bruins game right now as we speak, as media member up in the press box. So we have a nice little group of B&G sports media company members that have working on a cool rotation that everybody gets the press experience and able to interview Ryan Mougenel afterwards. So pretty pumped about that. Yeah. And I'll be in Maine Friday night to see the second home game of this Bruins affiliation. So we do have press credentials up in Maine too. So I'll be up there to check it out. I have a hotel room right down the street. So I'm going to get there early. I'm going to go out and about town and get some food, maybe possibly have a few beers after I get all my work done, and kind of do a fun write-up, not only about the game, but the environment around the Cross Insurance Arena, to kind of, you know, brighten the eyes of fans and expand their horizons when it comes to, you know, making a little bit of a road trip, because the American Hockey League and the East Coast Hockey League, the tickets are really cheap, so it's good for your family and so on. The Portland area is not so cheap for staying a night, but, you know, it is what it is in these tough times. You know, hotels took a big hit, so they want to jack up their prices just a little bit to kind of recover. But I think it'll be kind of a cool article just to give an idea of my favorite places that I went to. And then maybe the next time I go up, I do another one, but I tried a couple different places, you know, and do write-ups about them. So it's not all about hockey, but it's about supporting the community that the team actually is in. So I love going to Providence and ripping it up down there, you know, Trinity Brewhouse, shout out. I like to just to go up there, get the experience, and basically everything that I learn, I like to share with other people. So it's a good, fun time. So, and to have the media credentials is just a bonus when you get to, like, you know, do in person player interviews and, you know, talk to the coach and so on.
Yeah. Well, we'll stay tuned, and you're going to be launching the B&G Providence Hockey Report like towards there, but, you know, we'll still have you every now and then give a minute or two on here. No one's banishing your updates from here, but it's cool to have a lot of coverage people. I'm glad that other people are getting opportunities too as well, because it's, as in a perfect world, you would be able to attend every Boston Bruins and Maine Mariners and Providence Bruins games, but we do not live in a perfect world where we were born.
We're working there to get the NHL credentials on the ninth floor of TD. So it's constant work in progress, but it's good to have these experiences and to have, you know, a character to fall back on. So when I do keep pursuing that, some of these guys that work in these minor pro levels can also vouch for our presence at their games and what we have to offer when it comes to digital media content. So maybe we'll cross the threshold sooner or later. Who knows?
Well, I just meant generally it's nice to have people who are passionate to be able to, you know, do the writing, and the more the merrier, you know, if we get to have a little press crew for every single you know what I mean? Whatever. So that's all I meant. Shout out to the boys that have covered for this weekend. And yeah, so that's the down in the system / prospect / Providence update. Stay tuned for Mark's launch this week of.
Yes. I forgot to mention that. Yeah. It's I'm going to be working pretty hard tomorrow, which is Monday, the 25th. And Tuesday the 26th to get that out for a Wednesday release. I want to start doing these releases midweek, because the Providence Bruins schedule is predominantly Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They have some mixed in Wednesday games and so on, but I think that's a great time to listen to about the action that previously happened during the weekend, but also the weekend action that's coming up on the schedule and what to expect from them, you know, some win-loss, some trends, and, you know, just some stats and some facts and so on that I like to break down. I'd like to get like a half hour, 45-minute program going each week just to give the updates, because I think it's important for everybody to, you know, be a little privy on what's going down on the farm. And so when they do get the call, it wasn't like Marchand back in the day when you didn't know about the player down there and this little rat and, you know, why is he here? You already have a good good base of knowledge for these types of players that are, just like knocking at the NHL door.
Yeah. So we look forward to it.
Well, thank you. Your support is very well, you know, very,
I try to do my best to at least fake it. No, I'm just kidding.
You're such an asshole.
I know I am, aren't I? But that's all right. I'm cute. So, that being said, like back to something more serious. I forgot to mention earlier on Wednesday when they play, when we played Philly, that on TNT, they did a really good segment honoring Jimmy Hayes, but also very tactfully acknowledging and bringing up and discussing things like addictions and mental health. And I just wanted to tip my hat to, it's like the Jimmy Hayes thing's getting sadder and sadder every minute. But anyways, it was very well done. I thought it was a great way to honor Jimmy, but also take the issues underlying the situation very seriously. And I thought it was good on the broadcast crew there over at TNT. So just tip of my hat to, we should do a tip of the hat segment, tip of the hat to you. That. Yeah. So that's all. And this was kind of big. This isn't Bruins related, but I don't know why I normally have a mega agenda, but now I only have the agenda for two right now. But before we do upcoming games, I also wanted to mention the Premier Hockey Federation or whatever made a deal with ESPN Plus. So all the games for the PHF will be broadcast streamed on there. Sorry, I don't know where my brain was going. So anyways, there's gripes about ESPN Plus, but this is a huge thing for this league. Also, just generally, if you really love hockey, ESPN Plus is starting to be a good place to go because the KHL's got to deal with them.
Yeah.
They did a great discussion about it
on Julian Kremener.
What is it called?
The Ice Cast 2.0.
Thank you. Sorry, Jillian. I really couldn't. It was like ice something.
She does an amazing job. I wish she did. She works so hard over in the K, you know, and kudos to her for going over there, being a North American reporter and finding work over there for the past couple of years. And she loves it. So, but I love the podcast. I wish she had time to do more because I could really get more KHL freaking hockey, you know, knowledge in my head. But
She's my Emily Kaplan of the KHL.
Right.
Like I just love her and great, like solid.
She's caps overseas.
Yes, that's really how, that's how I feel in my head. But I always get excited when they have a new episode. But yeah, so anyways, huge for this league. Great for the six teams so far and maybe expanding this sooner than later if they're booming like this. I'm just
these are the small steps that these ladies and this federation need to get more exposure. I believe if they get this network like they're getting right now, I think this is when, you know, NHL teams, they bite on it more, you know, and they want to have something like that in their own markets. And my dream, honestly, is to have a ladies team for every NHL, you know, every NHL city. I don't know why it took me forever to go into a full letter word. a city. Yeah, it is a Sunday. And I mean, that would be awesome, you know, and then possibly kind of work on travel schedules that kind of mimic where the Bruins are going, you know, kind of like have a following and so on. But I think it'd be great. And I'm looking forward to it. Our own Black and Gold Production Sports Media Company, Andrew Taverna, he's an administrator along with myself. He is heading up the Boston Pride writing and podcasts and all that stuff over there. So we have credentials for Boston Pride this year, which I'm pretty stoked about. And we've already got
Cup champs.
Yeah, we've already got a schedule already worked out for coverage for every game. So we will have representation from BNG at every Boston Pride game. That's at home at least. And we have writers throughout the country. We have BNG's gotten up to like 60 freaking people right now. It's absolutely maddening, crazy. But we have opportunities for others to, you know, in New York, if they play the I can't remember what the team name is.
Buffalo Buttes.
Yes, if you play the Buttes, I'm
sure. Or the Metropolitan Riveters. Yeah. Which one are you looking for?
Never mind. Just two of them. Or the Hartford Whale.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we could have
Connecticut Whale.
Connecticut Whale. Sorry. But we could have coverage there on road games too as well. So it's just the more content we can get, but the more access we get, it's even better. So
I'd also like to shout out the Whitecaps and also the Six, because you forgot Toronto and Minnesota.
Yeah, but I wasn't talking about them.
I know, we're just rounding out all the ladies. But that being said, our Boston Pride, defending Isabel Cup champions, they open up on November 6th and 7th. They're playing home versus the Minnesota Whitecaps. And that'll be pretty awesome. Can't wait to see the coverage that's happening there. I really want to get to a game this year, but I will definitely have my Boston Pride.
That's a Saturday night, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they play the 6th and 7th.
Maybe we should go to
They play kind of a little bit, kind of like the AHL schedule, how they play a couple games.
Yeah.
Like within the weekend or college.
We should go to that.
Oh, geez. Dropping things here. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, we definitely have to get to a game. And also, I kind of like just going to the Warrior Ice Arena.
It is fun.
I feel happy when I'm there. It's just like a place where you're like close to greatness, but also just at your local rink all at the same time. It's like a weird.
I like going there and then the rail stop right next door afterwards.
You love that rail stop, buddy.
I do. Especially when they're teaching like new younger ladies or younger people. Let's not, you know, how to bartend. They're like, can I use you as a sampler? And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, well, I'm new and I'm being trained. Is it okay if you try this drink? And I'm like, okay. She's like, we won't charge you for anything. I'm like, perfect.
I can't even imagine how happy you are to have someone ask you if you could be their sample or whatever. Great. Like, yeah, you could be their guinea pig. It must have made you very happy. All right, geez. This episode 250, man, it is going off the rails. Thank God for everyone who is listening. It is probably not going to last that much longer because
I know
it is like
when we do record out of our schedule, we do get it all kinds of off the rails, but it's all right. We're celebrating. All right,
it's the 250th. Exactly. It's the 250th, man. You only hit 250 once, man.
And actually shout out to my friend, Cody Stevens. He's a Patreon member and previous winner of several items. And he is a very good machinist, but he made some kind of big freaking B&G kind of shrine that says 250 on it. So once that is done and it's delivered to my section of work, I will bring it out here and show it for the fortunate ones that do follow us on YouTube, the video side of our social media content. But shout out to him because he's a faithful listener too.
I gotta be honest, I don't even want to know what I look like on YouTube. I don't even know where to look. I'm in my own world. I keep forgetting that you put us out, that people can actually see us.
We put it everywhere. World.
Those of you who put up with us visually too, as well, you're strong. You're strong people. Makes me proud of you. All right. Jeez. Okay, focus. I'm the one who's supposed to be keeping us focused, and I'm totally not. All right. Upcoming games. Yes, we're going to play hockey again, but not until Wednesday, which is fine because they're going to play 3 out of 4 days. Here we go. We're playing Wednesday the 27th versus the Florida Panthers at the BB&T Center. So in Florida, 7:00. Then Thursday, we're going to be playing the Carolina Hurricanes at the PNC Arena in Carolina. Then we're going to come home and on Saturday play the Panthers again. Currently the Panthers are 5-0 and Carolina's 4-0, and they're both really good everywhere they've been playing. So it ought to be an interesting week. Couple days off. I don't know. I'm not Bruce Cassidy, but I'm going to assume they have Monday off, back to practice on Tuesday and travel, whatever kind of thing, to get ready. One wouldn't think they'd probably have too heavy of a practice situation happening if they have to play that much at the end of the week. Yeah, that's it. What do you think? What do you think about these Panthers who you predict to be number one in the Atlantic? And so far, Mark, you are right, my friend.
Yeah, I'm. They're a bit of a wagon, man. They're getting really good goaltending from Sergei Bobrovsky. Mm. And the backup goaltender, the rookie, he's been doing well, too. Remains to be seen on who we're going to see in our goal or in their goal on that particular night and in their schedule. I haven't really looked. But oh, shit. Providence Bruin down on the ice. Looks like he got hit by my puck. But anyway, who's the next game in Tampa Bay?
No, we're playing Carolina. We play Florida and then we go to Carolina.
All right. Carolina's, yeah, Carolina's really no slouch either. They can be a team that can surprise you with their talent, that Svechnikov and so on, and, you know, Stahl and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but, you know, it's the back-to-back, so should be it's going to be interesting what Bruce Cassidy is going to do when concerning the goaltending. Where do we go from here? Do you go Sway on Wednesday and then Omark on Thursday, or do you ride the hot hand that seems to be going on right now and Omark for another game to get the first of the back-to-back and then give the Carolina game to Swayman? So regardless, you know, after what we saw today, I want to see Omark be a little better. I know it wasn't totally on him, but you know, whatever game he gets into. And obviously we want Swayman to have a really nice bounce back game, because the Philadelphia game, I just thought was a little disappointing, but it's going to happen. I mean, he's going to have these games. It's all about how you recover mentally and physically. So, you know, I think he will. I think he's got so much confidence. He's just one of those happy-go-lucky kids. But, you know, I just want to see just get back on the train. You know, this way train.
I'm thinking Swayman Wednesday, Allmark Thursday, and then no. I'm thinking Allmark, then Swayman, then Allmark. Because that way they no. I'm trying to figure out how working in my head, because I think that way they each can see Florida next week. I had it in my head and now I'm saying it out loud. I'm losing it. But do you know what I mean? So that they both get a chance to see Florida next week. It's kind of redundant to, you know, see the thing. But anyways, we'll see what happens with that. Two teams that have put up a lot of goals so far, looking at the standings or whatever. Carolina's already 18 goals for, 7 against. That's pretty good average there. They're plus 11. And Florida's gotten 22 goals and only given up 9. So it's going to be a tough one for sure, playing out of a division for a game or two or whatever, or game actually, right? Two versus Florida. But yeah, Florida's looking like a little bit of a wagon right now, and whatever, it's week two. That's how I feel. Hopefully we have a good week. Hopefully we get 2 out of 3 games. Hopefully the back-to-back doesn't bite us in the ass, but since we had 3 million years to rest before they ever even played these 3 games they just played this week, hopefully they'll be all right starting on Wednesday again. I don't know how I feel about Wednesday. Remember the Bruins games used to always be on like Tuesday, Thursday? I kind of like that schedule in NHL.
Saturday, like, Monday. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now
yeah,
it's been like that. Monday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. No, you're messing up my schedule. I got other things I got to plan too. How am I supposed to schedule to see this? All right. That's pretty much it. Those are the upcoming games. Keep an eye on it.
What did we mention Saturday's game?
What? Yeah, the Florida Panthers.
Oh, okay. No,
we're playing
Florida again.
We're playing Panthers Wednesday in. Pay attention, Mark. Why are all we right. having this conversation? The I listeners aren't the only ones.
I'm sorry.
We're playing the Panthers Wednesday, Carolina Thursday on the road, and then home to play the Panthers at home.
Oh, that's right. That's the game that the 30th. That's right. That's the game that Haley and Danny are going to. Jesus, wow. That's
Jeez,
bad.
Guy. What am I doing here? I'm talking to myself. You're not listening to me. I don't even know if anyone out there
I got the American Hockey League game on, too, so I'm really not paying attention to you.
I'm watching the Providence Bruins, so I can't pay attention to our podcast.
Shut your face.
This is going to sound awesome when you edit it, me chirping you on our 250th episode. In all seriousness, that's all I got. You got anything else you want to bring up? I mean, go get pasta, support a good cause.
Real quick, I do want to mention that we are still looking for writers and podcasters. So if you're interested in joining our Black and Gold Productions sports media team, please go to Black and Gold Productions LLC at gmail.com. Send me a cover letter. Send me anything if you want to get involved. It's a really great group to work with. And if you're not very good at writing and not good at podcasting, you can always reach out to me and I can obviously train and walk you through it to make it a little bit better experience for you. But we are looking for folks. So if you heard this and you see this, please reach out as soon as possible.
I was only giggling because I was thinking, or you could just get a friend that has a podcast and end up invading their podcast and being on there for 3 years. That's another way you could do it. You don't have, just kidding. That being said, I'd like to shout out the other podcast, please, on the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast Network. Obviously, follow us. If you're not doing that, I don't know what's going on because you're listening to our podcast right now. Dump and Change, Short Shift, Puck Lines, Lindroth Podcast, Don't Poke the Pod, Holtz on Hockey with a sweet new logo, new yes. little pick. Love it. Love the new whatever you call it. Is it logo? I guess. Hub of Hockey Podcast, Beehive, Causeway Kings, as always. New ones, Third Line Grinders. Mark's working every now and then when he gets a chance to, as if he doesn't have enough being the OG of the BNG. Remember the Maples, but this week definitely is going to be launching his. Hey, it'll be fun listening to Mark talk to himself for a half hour. Just be like,
right.
You're like in your zone. You know what you should do? You should create characters where you're like, well, no, Mark, tell no, us about Oscar Steen.
I love Steve Dangle and everything, but I'm not Steve Dangle.
No, I'm not saying be a direct ripoff. I just meant it would be funny to do that. So shout out, follow all the writers at Black and Gold Hockey Podcast, which I can't seem to find my list of writers that I wrote down. So I promise next week I'll read you guys off. And I think maybe it's time for Patreon because yes. I cannot hold us together much longer, my friend. And you just want to get yeah. to this AHL Bruins game. Go Providence.
Well, they're losing 2-1 with 3:40 to go. So there's absolutely no rush. But we do have a Patreon account going on, and if you want to get involved and get some awesome items for your fan cave, for your kid, for your friend, for birthdays, for Christmas, whatever, it's awesome. So go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast. Donate $1. Half of your dollar goes to help us, our small sports media company, but the other half turns into some awesome, fun Bruins-related gifts, prizes, whatever. So for the month of November, we are giving away a new, this is Rick Middleton. Rick Middleton, fully authenticated, awesome stitched black jersey for $1. That's it. So get on board, get some stuff like that. This week's Bruins related winner or Bruins prize winner, whatever. Man, I freaking can't talk today. Struggling, Heather.
Struggling on friend. A Sunday.
Is our friend Trent Barry. So thank you very much, yay. Trent. Truly appreciate your support as always from down under. Good day, mate. And
you always do that. You have the worst Australian accent.
Shut up. No. But anyway,
you know, thank you, Trent.
Yes, we truly appreciate everybody's support. You guys have all been amazing, whether it be sharing, retweeting, conversating with us, talking Boston Bruins hockey. In the big old Bruins fan, we truly appreciate that. So thank you for everybody. Shout out to everybody group like
hug,
that.
Group hugs.
Yeah, groups hugs. Group but anyway, hug. With that being said, 250 is in the books.
250 is a hot mess, yeah. But not it can't be as bad as Wednesday in Philly. So
we got to get back to like our regular programming so we can get back on the rails, man. This late afternoon stuff is for the birds.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We're good. Sorry, I'm people. We love you. Come back
that's
next
Heather Ingerson. Punching her like a brother and sister would do. But anyway, be safe, everybody. We have a lot of hockey coming up. Go to betonline.ag and use code CLNS50 if you want to get your wager on this week and get into some hockey action. But yeah, so with that being said, peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening to and supporting the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please share the show with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe to and leave a 5-star rating for the show on your favorite podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Between shows, help us keep the Bruins talk going by visiting our website, blackandgoldhockey.com, by sending an email to blackandgoldhockeyblog@gmail.com, and by following the show on Twitter @blackandgoldpod.
Peace out.